Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, all eyes this week are on Paris for the 2024 Olympic Games. The kickoff on Friday. Ireland has a record-breaking 133 athletes competing at the Games, and 10 of them will compete in boxing. A man who knows better than anyone what it's like to be in that ring is Olympic silver medalist Kenneth Egan. Good afternoon, Kenneth.
How are you, Ray?
Michael Crowth on this morning. Now you were on. Yeah, no, not me, because I wasn't here. But they had him on.
Olympic gold medalist, of course. Yeah,
he didn't bring his medal in.
No,
so you did one.
That's very selfish.
Can I look at that?
I brought it in for you to have a quick look. Yeah. At it, yeah, because we're talking all things Olympic. So
yeah. Look at that.
The Beijing. I think I was in with you back in 08 or 09, of course.
Yeah. So 2008, Beijing, light heavyweight.
I wouldn't say I'm light heavyweight anymore now, but sure.
I was just reading about this Olympics, and did you know that each Olympic medal contains an 18 gram piece of original Eiffel Tower iron?
Wow.
I don't know how they managed to. It must have been a bit that fell off or something like that.
Right.
But that's
very good.
Yeah.
That's unique. Isn't it? Yeah, that's a nice touch for the games itself. Yeah, that's brilliant.
I was telling them at the top that you will be at the opening ceremony this week. We'll ask you why in a minute, but it's the first opening ceremony you've been at. Why weren't you at the opening ceremony in Beijing?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. So when we went to Beijing, the draw is made the day of the opening ceremony. So everybody weighs in and the draw is made for boxing. And I was up first. So I was boxing the following day, which would be the Saturday this time around. So I couldn't go to the opening ceremony because there was too much involved in getting there and hanging around and the heat and the humidity and all those type of things. I had to stay back in the apartment and make way to weigh in the following morning to fight that day. So I missed the close.
How were you making weight in your hotel room?
In the apartment. We stayed in the Olympic Village.
What were you doing?
A bit of skipping.
Oh, a bit of skipping.
Yeah, just to keep an eye on the weight. And went to bed then and was up nice and fresh the next morning to go and weigh in. Right. You have to weigh in every day you fight. Yeah. So I had to be 81 kilos or less.
Yes, the 81 is written on the back of the medal.
That was my weight. Went out the next morning to weigh in, all good. And I nearly missed the closing ceremony because I was being drug tested after the final. So I got to the tail end of the closing ceremony.
Right.
So, you know, everyone's Olympics is different.
Was there a telly in the hotel room?
There was, of course.
Okay,
oh, yeah, so department's eye. I was watching TV, all the lads, Paddy Barnes and all the gang, yeah.
So we had three boxing medals that year.
We had, silver and two bronze. Mm. Myself, Darren and Paddy Barnes, yeah.
Poor Darren.
The five was got beaten by eventual winners of the games.
Uh-huh.
So the standard was quite high back then, the five lads that travelled, so.
Yeah.
It's great.
So you're going to be there in Paris. Are you working or is it
I'm going over with
spectating?
No, I'm working. I'm going over with the Olympic Federation of Ireland for the 4 days. Doing some different events. I'll be meeting Simon Harris over there, the Irish Embassy, on the Saturday morning.
Right.
So a few little gigs lined up with the sponsors, Permanent TSB and the like. So it's going to be a busy 4 days. Yeah. And then I come back on the Sunday afternoon and back in here on the Monday morning.
And were you on a Zoom call with the team this morning?
Zor rang me, believe it or not.
Now, my coach. Tell people who Zor is.
Zor is the living legend from Georgia who came over here many moons ago and put his life into Irish boxing. And I only seen a statue today, Ray, that out of half of the Irish Olympic medals won, Zor has half of them.
Right.
Of all boxing Olympic medals, Zor has won half under his guidance. That's some going. In the 100 years that we're in the Olympic movement.
That's some going.
He rang me, he got a missed call. I rang him back and he was on the plane with the team around him. And I just wished them all the best of luck. All the gang were in great form, great spirits, really, really looking fit.
What did you say to them? Did he catch you by surprise or did you
I wasn't expecting it at all. And I just wished them all the best of luck. It's just take a day at a time, one day at a time. Focus on your performance. Forget about anything else. Just perform to the best that you can and just enjoy it. Box with a smile on your face. That's what it's about. That's what helped me.
It's easier said than done, I would imagine.
Well, that's what it comes down to, Ray. Who can hold the nerve the most at any given time in the ring? If you lose concentration or you slip up, you make a mistake and you're hard on yourself, you can make a second mistake and a third mistake. So it's important you stay focused and stay in the moment.
But I'm just thinking, you were in your hotel room skipping and you weren't involved in the opening ceremony. Because you needed to, as well as keeping your weight down, you need to keep your mind on the job in hand. The opening ceremony is this huge thing, over 200,000 people on the banks of the Seine. They'll be on barges going up the Seine.
It's very different.
Difficult to keep your mind focused then, isn't it?
Yeah. It's going to be amazing. This is the first of its kind outside of an actual Olympic stadium. So looking forward to getting there, sitting down and enjoying the spectacle for what it is, Really, really, it's going to be amazing. The whole game is going to be fantastic.
Now, this medal, I have it in front of us. We'll talk about our hopes as a team. But I was reading from your website, and this is a stark quote from you. I cursed that medal and wished I had never set foot in Beijing.
You're bringing me back to the dark times.
I couldn't believe it when I was reading that this morning.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't really grateful for what happened after the Olympic Games, you know, that kind of downward spiral of madness. And in a sense, the medal brought me into the depths quicker than if I hadn't won the medal. On the same note, the medal got me into recovery quicker because of the ferocity of the madness for those 2 years, from 2008 to 2010. So I cursed it when I come back. But sitting back now with my good, clean, sober, switched on head on me, I'm very grateful for what I achieved back in 2008, because I know how hard it is. The work that I'd pushed myself to the limit year in, year out for 10 years to try and get to those Olympic Games and finally qualifying and getting the chance to represent Ireland at these Olympic Games was special.
It's mad when you read, I doubt that anybody else is doing this now, I hope they're not, but when you qualified for the Olympics, you went on a bender.
Yeah, that was my icing on the cake. The qualify was so special for me, but you know what do you do when you achieve something, you celebrate. I qualified in the April. Went on one of my last benders, I'd say, before I got stuck in to get ready for the Olympic Games. That was probably in the late April, early May, and then celebration was over. Then focused on the games themselves.
And do you call yourself an alcoholic, Kenneth?
Oh yeah, I'm recovering. Okay. I'm in recovery. Oh, definitely, yeah.
But you were a well organized alcoholic.
Well, I thought I was. Right. You know, and that's why. I was burning the candle at both ends for so long, you know, and I got away with it a lot of the time. Sometimes I didn't, but it wasn't a healthy lifestyle to be living.
No, God, no.
Being involved in a sport that's so physical, so demanding, then to when you're not in the sport, to be involved in something else that's so physical and so demanding in the drinking I was doing. So you can't put the two of them together. It's horrendous.
Did you ever think that maybe that medal that I'm looking at now would be gold if you weren't drinking?
You mean if I hadn't been drinking, would it be gold?
Yeah.
Look, there's no point crying over spilt milk.
But did you ever think that?
No, never gave it a thought. The final itself, I thought I won by 2 or 3 points. So in my head, genuinely believe I beat him in the final. But look, if I was offered a silver medal at the start of the games, I would have took it.
Of course.
And that same question you asked there, should I have gone into recovery quicker? Did I ever wish I could have got recovery before I got into the high performance and got it in the early 20s? It wasn't meant to be. I got my recovery when I got my recovery. Yeah. And that was after the games in 2010.
And if I understand you correctly, that the medal, winning the medal in Beijing, accelerated your descent to the bottom.
Yeah.
And as a result, got you into recovery quicker.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Because I feel if I hadn't have won the medal and come back as an Olympian, amazing achievement, don't get me wrong, I probably would have just continued that kind of
low level.
Yeah. But the fact that I come back, the superstar, if you like, or whatever, and everyone wanted a piece of me, accelerated my drinking. And 2 years after that, it got me into recovery.
So, by my calculations, you're 14 years sober now, is it?
Yeah.
And you're a psychotherapist?
Yeah.
You're helping people in addiction. How rewarding is that?
Back in 2012, 2013, I was looking at retirement in the face from sport. I was on the road a long, long time. And that was a very, very difficult transition for me because I had no plan B. And that's a big thing for athletes, you know. They need to plan before they retire. And I didn't. So I struggled with that. And lucky enough, I decided to get back into education, went back and got a diploma in addiction studies, went on to do a degree in psychotherapy. And done a lot of personal development. Worked on myself and why I was drinking, and what I needed to do, coping mechanisms, and what I needed to do to stop when I stopped, what I needed to do to allow me to stay stopped. And there's a lot of work done there, you know, and I'm only sober today, Ray. That's the main thing.
Right.
You know, that's the most, we keep it a day at a time, one day at a time. And get back into the studies and you know, getting back and getting that degree and then going out and helping other people. And it's nice when you get the odd text off a client, can it just hit another anniversary?
Yeah.
Now, that's, look, I've a small part to play in that, but they're the ones that are going out and doing the work and staying clean.
Like you did.
Of course. And it's great to hear that people can get sobriety and can get well in life, because it is possible.
And are you afraid of drinking?
No. What do you mean?
I don't fear
alcohol.
No, that's the, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. I don't fear alcohol.
Because some people do.
No, I don't fear it. I respect it.
Right.
I'm not against people drinking. You can drink wherever you want. But for me, I'm like,
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, like you said, I'm sober today.
Yeah.
You know, So that suggested to me that you're fearful that, you know, tomorrow you won't be sober.
Like, People would ask, am I ever going to drink again? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, to be honest with you. Do I want to drink? No, today I don't want to drink. But and I share this story sometimes, and I think it's important for people to hear that are struggling. You know, I do sometimes think of drinking. If I have a bad day or someone gives me bad news or something sets me off and probably a bit of anger comes up in me, I think of drinking. And it's a pint of Guinness in my head. But I fast forward 10 days from that first drink and I look at the carnage.
Right.
I see a path of destruction.
And that's how you do it?
Yeah. And I just say, okay, it's just a fleeting thought.
Yeah.
Gather your thoughts. I'm very aware now of what's going on inside me. So the awareness allows me to make good choices.
Okay.
So I step away from that thought and get on with my day.
And what do you think of Simon Harris and Keir Starmer with the pints of Guinness?
Look, I heard, was it on the radio the other day you were talking about? I don't know, someone was talking about the whole advertisement of Irishness and Guinness. And, you know, every country has a you know, different kind of emblems of their local heritage, if you like.
Right.
Look, to me, it's harmless, you know.
Is it?
Yeah.
But drink wasn't harmless to you.
No, but I brought it on myself. I was to blame. Yeah. It wasn't the advertisement. The advertisement doesn't help when it's on all day, every day. But it is that Irishness, you know, a harmless point of Guinness with the two lads, I suppose, celebrating Irishness. It doesn't bother me whatsoever.
Right. So you chatted to them, the team.
Just briefly this morning, they're all in good spirits. They're all looking fresh and healthy. Yep, all good to go.
And you're doing punditry on the telly.
I'll be on the telly box again, yeah, next week. But I've gone over here now to enjoy this opening ceremony and really embrace the Olympicness, you know. It's been a long time since I was at Olympics, Ray, 2008, so.
But what to be, like that medal, I'm wondering, because it's there in front of us there. I'm delighted you brought it in, actually, because it's a focus. And I'm wondering, do you at home, do you take it out? And this isn't a joke at all,
yeah.
Kenneth. I'm serious here. This isn't a joke.
You're going to ask me to wear prance around the house with it around my neck?
That's not the question.
I have some videos. I'll send them to you. No, I don't.
This is the question. Do you know those days that you've mentioned already where you're feeling angry or you know, frustrated or whatever? You know, do you draw on that Olympic success and maybe get the medal out and just have a look at it? No.
Like, that to me was an achievement in time. Back in 2008, when I executed my boxing expertise to a T to win four fights and lost in a final, right? That was just the perfect boxing.
Okay.
But it's put to bed now. It's done.
Okay.
It's over with.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with my recovery anymore. My recovery now is more important than, now in present times, than an Olympic medal.
Right. Now, it was a short call this morning and you were just wishing them well. But you've learned life lessons, haven't you, from, and we've discussed them already, and another quote from you is, you can't walk into a bank with a medal and ask for a mortgage. And that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I always thought that particularly in amateur sports, it must be frustrating for people who achieve at the highest level and then they can't get a mortgage or, you know, they can't get a job or whatever. It must be very frustrating and inevitably, a sporting career is short-lived in that you have to retire at a young age.
And it is so short. And sometimes when you're an active athlete, you don't think of how long you're going to be in the game. You know, I was lucky to get, I was 12, 13 years at the highest level, which is unheard of. Normally it's 4 or 5. But I was in the Institute of Sport many moons ago, 2016 Olympics actually, the lads were heading to Rio. And the question I asked them was, what does retirement look like to you? And they couldn't fathom why I asked that, you know. But I couldn't stress enough the importance of dual career, competing and getting an education at the same time. Because sport, as fantastic as it is, and amazing how it makes you feel, and all your travelling and you're representing the country, it ends at some stage. Now, you mightn't get a full career over. You could be deselected, you could be injured, you could be any amount of reasons that you mightn't make it. So you need to have that transition piece where you can step away from the sport easier than normal.
Yeah,
and that's important. A dual career is very, very important.
Particularly in, like, most sports other than, say, professional football, you know, you're not going to earn enough
But there's not a lot of footballers come back from England that don't make it.
Yeah.
You know, they think they're going to be the next Wayne Rooney's and all these, and they come back and they have nothing. You know, and it's devastating, you know. So it's important that they look at their education. Think about, what am I going to do if I'm not playing ball anymore or box anymore? What other interests have I got?
And do you think the state, do you think the country supports our elite athletes enough?
I think, you know, the funding model's there now and really are looking after our high-performing athletes. And I think it's great, you know, athletes that are really punching above their weight, pardon the pun, but really, really working hard to achieve their goals. The government have got behind them with the funding, you know, but there could be another piece there for the transition piece where when athletes do decide to retire, that they have an easier transition.
Yeah.
And that could be
like, I know
that,
for example, there was tax incentives there for rugby players, but I suppose
that
a lot of
something that could be brought into to Olympians as well. Yeah,
yeah, that anything yeah. They make, they pay less tax on it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's a good idea. That's one good idea, isn't it? Yeah. And you've said goodbye to politics. You didn't run the local elections.
No, I 10 years under my belt, 2 terms. And look, I enjoyed the 10 years. It was great. But I just felt it was a time for a change of scene, if you like. And didn't burn any bridges. No hard feelings. Mm. Just stepped away. Thanks very much. It was a really enjoyable 10 years. And just wanted to try something different now. And just, you know, take a break from politics.
Yet another Fine Gael politician who's decided not to run. You know, like there's
been a handful of them.
Yeah, a whole
set of them. Sure, that's all. They have their own reasons.
I know.
For me, I felt I 10 years done, and you know, I didn't have the appetite to run again.
Right.
You know, it wasn't in me. So I'm not going to do something that I don't want to do just for the sake of it.
Fair enough.
I'm too old for that. You know.
And we were talking to David Norris last week, and I was citing, you know, what Eamon Ryan said in his speech before he or just when he announced that he was giving up the leadership of the Green Party. And he was saying that, you know, politicians are now subjected to a lot of vitriol online, trolls. And I was asking the question, like, would anybody choose public office as a career hearing that?
Mm.
You know, like, were you getting any of that?
It was probably one of the reasons. I had a number of reasons, but that was probably one of the reasons why I probably stepped back. I have an 8-year-old daughter who, you know, I loved early, and I wouldn't want to see anything said to her towards my family. So that would have been one of the smaller reasons why I stepped away. Mm. Things are getting very hostile out there, and social media is getting very, like, social media is nothing but negativity. It's causing people, it's bringing people down a dark road, you know. And the more people spend time on it, you know, it's just negative, 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 and it's distorting people's thinking, and that's not healthy.
Mm.
And that's not going to get any better either, you know. I think the likes of Twitter and the Facebooks need to be held accountable big time for what's being allowed to be shared and what's not being shared. But
I think
they're dragging their heels, they're very slow.
But I think that's going to happen in the next few years. I'd hope it is anyway.
Well, I'd hate to see it being too late though, you know.
Yeah.
A TD or a local councillor or someone getting badly hurt because of someone's views on something, you know. And I'd hate to say that now, but look, is that the way it's going to go before something is
So you're a full-time psychotherapist?
Well, no, I wouldn't say full-time, you know. Right. I wouldn't have the head to be doing 40 hours a week of psychotherapy, but it's very demanding. So I do practice psychotherapy. I have a few clients every week. I work out in Oberstown Detention Centre as well, young lads.
Yeah.
That is unique. And I really enjoy that.
Do they see you as somebody they can identify with?
A lot of them have boxed.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of boxing history in them, but they just, you know, they've heard of me. Obviously, some of them are quite young, so I'm around a long time now. I'm not as young as I used to be, so they wouldn't know me per se, but they'd have heard me, or they'd say, "Oh, my dad knows you well."
Yeah.
that, you know, that knows when you're actually shows when you're old. But and look, I go in there, I treat them as I don't judge. There's no judgment. We just have a bit of fun. We do a bit of boxing training, a bit of pad work. Teach them how to box, the discipline and the respect of it, you know. And it's a great 2 or 3 hours I spend with them.
Great.
Yeah, and we really enjoy it. Yeah. And it's really beneficial, I think, for them, you know.
And what about our attitude, as a nation, our attitude to going to therapy?
Yeah, look, it's getting better, I have to say. But there is still a stigma around, you know, mental health. People look at you, oh, what the hell's wrong with him, you know.
Now, we talk a lot about it.
We do, yeah. That's okay talking about it.
Yeah.
But it's about putting it into action and actually going and seeking help, you know. And
I was just reading in the cover of the Irish Times today that only 1% of mental health services are regulated in this country, which is, like, it's a scary statistic, you know.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of talk, a lot of people came out and shared their mental health stories, but unfortunately, the services, etc., you know, there wasn't enough talk about that.
Yeah,
and there wasn't enough agitation for change. Yeah, there you go. However, it does not provide for the regulation of community services such as CAMHS, meaning just 1% of mental health services are regulated. There you go, Seán Bowers in the Irish Times today.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're getting better at it.
We are getting better. And it needs to be spoken about more and more and more. And people that have an audience, like myself.
Yes.
Speaking about the struggles that I went through, the hardship, the pain I've caused people, the pain I caused myself, but getting out the other side of it, putting my hand out and asking for help. That was the biggest thing for me, was saying, look, I'm not invincible here. I need help. Someone help me. That was the change point in my life.
But now that you have a platform too, Kenneth, maybe you might, as well as 10-year-old story, you might, you know, talk about the services as well, because sometimes when people put their hand out for help, the services aren't there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Is it what I'm saying?
No, of course it is. Yeah. And that's so true, you know. Yeah. And look, no amount of funding is enough, is it? You know, we need more funding from the government.
So you're going to be on the telly. that went all everywhere, which is that conversation. And thanks so much for being so honest. But your punditry, so when you're back from Paris, you'll be on the telly for the boxing.
Yeah.
And what are you predicting?
Medal wise.
Now, Michael Crute said we're going to have 3 medals.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I'm looking at the team here, you know, with the 6 girls, you know, we got 2 or 3 medals with the girls.
Right.
So Mick could have been right there. With the lads, it's going to be very, very difficult, you know. Aidan Walsh could sneak another medal, you know. Jude Gallagher, fantastic talent. Dean Clancy or Jack Marley. Look, if we got 2 or 3 medals, I'd probably agree with Mick. 2 or 3 medals would be amazing.
Right.
It really would be the icing on the cake. And then we've other sports then, you know, we've athletics.
Yeah, sure. Rashida. That's somebody, you know? I know. Oh, somebody yeah, else's know, yeah. area of expertise.
She, yeah.
And Kelly Harrington is back.
Brilliant. Kelly's back defending our title. Imagine that. That's unheard of.
That'd be spectacular.
That's unique in itself, yeah.
Kenneth, great to see you.
Thanks a million.
You're looking so good. And thanks so much for bringing the medal
back, by the way.
Yeah. I'll bring it home and dance around the sitting room with it on me.
Good luck. Send in your video.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.